Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 304, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Oh, give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring, and with all his people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 304. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is naught, saith the buyer. But when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who hast given unto us this thy holy word, for us and our dear children, that we may know how we ought to behave ourselves in this world. Then it is according to that law that thou hast given. Upon that mountain, that day that thou hast brought thy people out of Egypt, and that thou hast instructed them therein, and that they must love thee above all, and their neighbor as themselves. Lord, that people could not stand before that mount, because that love for neighbor and for thee that had vanished out of their hearts when it was given to us in paradise. And what can we say? Lord, we have love to self. We have thanks to self. But we have not on this Thanksgiving Day what is necessary to acknowledge thee or one another. May thou remember each and every one of us, and that thy word may be as a sharp two-edged sword, that it may also pierce our hearts, and that we may be given to become the guilty ones. Our first parents did not obey when their thanks ought to have gone out to thee for every blessing given unto them in paradise. And the testimony of their life, the deed of their hands, that did show, and that they did desire to depart. O Lord, we are their children. And such is what lies also in our own hearts. But thou canst make it new. Oh, thou canst give it to become so different in and through a second Adam that thou hast sent into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, how can we give to thee what thou requirest when we are dead in sins and in trespasses by nature? Oh, that thou would restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Oh, that thy Holy Spirit may bless and sanctify thy word in our midst, that we indeed may come to know something of that true thanksgiving that thou dost plant in the heart of each and every one of thy children. Lord, we can read of thy servant that he did say that thou didst deliver him from a miry pit and clay, and thou didst give that a new song may be put in his mouth. Oh, that was to thy honor. That was a true thanksgiving in the way of a blessed deliverance that he could not expect because of his own deeds. Lord, thou art our only hope. Thou art our only expectation. Also in this day, when we are required to return to thee everything, but we cannot return to thee anything. Oh, thou dost say a broken heart and a contrite spirit. But Lord, we cannot break that hard heart. It is like a stone. It is like a rock. Oh, thou canst in one moment break it to pieces and give us to melt away under all thy great goodness. For the most part, we see it not. It is all taken so for granted, all the things that are in this life. For in thee we live and we move and we have our being. And there is so much that is even beyond our own consciousness to maintain us in this life and to maintain this world. Lord, when we consider the work of our hands and the work of men in the world in which we live, then we can only say that it is a wonder that thou dost not send another flood, that thou dost not yet destroy us as thou didst destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, because thy name is not honored, thy name is not glorified, because our deeds show otherwise. Oh, have mercy upon us. Turn us again, Lord, and we shall be turned. Oh, look on each and every one of thy children. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord. But Lord, oh, may thou give them to sing a little also here. And by moments in this life, oh, may it be even amongst this our own people. Because there are also those that are young. Oh, that they may be given to hear something of what thou dost do in the life of thy church. Lord, and then they shall be drawn. Thy bride said, draw me, we will run after thee. Oh, so they need it today, but also each and every one of us. Oh, that thou would work it for the first or by renewal in the midst of us. And wilt thou keep us from ourselves? Oh, we may be together in this afternoon again. Wilt thou be with all that are not able to be with us? Thou knowest the places where they are. Because for some there are also responsibilities in this life. Lord, when there is a desire, oh, may thou fulfill the desire. When there is no desire, wilt thou give desire. And wilt thou instruct in thy truth. Oh, look on all those that are old, those that are ailing, those that come to the end of their life. And Lord, they have so much that is lying behind them, so many ways that thou hast led in their life, so many blessings granted. Oh Lord, thou knowest also what it shall be to have experienced thy dealings and to one day go lost. Oh, that thou would give a holy urgency also unto them in this day, that they may be brought to a true repentance. And wilt thou go before us in the preaching of thy holy word? Wilt thou supply in our need? Lord, we need to be given matter, we need to be given words, we need to be given love, and we need to be given thy spirit. Oh, that thou would then remember us, help us, Lord, one more time. And wilt thou give that there may be fruit in the midst of this people? Oh, for a blessing in the midst of thy house. Then we shall be satisfied. Lord, do it then for thy name's sake, that it may be for instruction, for rebuke, for comfort, and for the salvation of our poor souls and the glory of thy holy and worthy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. And thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be. in which no waters be, 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 164. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion of Scripture read to you, Proverbs chapter 20, and thereof the fourth verse. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, and therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. So far the words of our text. The sluggard shall have nothing. First, naturally. Second, spiritually. The sluggard shall have nothing. First, naturally. Second, spiritually. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. The sluggard, what is that? Sluggard is one that is slothful. He does not like to work. Solomon often speaks about a sluggard. He says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, as so doth the sluggard upon his bed. The slothful man, he writes, hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again unto his mouth. The sluggard. And at the same time, the sluggard, wiser in his own conceits, he says, than seven men that are able to render a reason. And now Solomon in this text is speaking about a sluggard again. He speaks about a man of sloth. And this time he is a farmer, thus a slothful farmer. He will not plow, we read, by reason of the cold. What does that mean? That there is for him some kind of an excuse. In the weather, in the climate, actually, that there is the very smallest thing, the very smallest inconvenience in this world that is preventing him from plowing. Rather sit, boys and girls, in his house, maybe afraid that he will catch a cold. Solomon, he speaks about a slothful man. He says there is a lion in the way. There is a lion in the streets. Then he is fearing all the time because he does not want to labor with his hands. Solomon says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Thus one that is sleeping on his bed. A little sleep, a little more sleep, then a little slumber, and then a folding of the hands to sleep. How is that among us? We don't believe there are as such among us. It is actually an honor upon the heritage of the Dutch that they are considered hard workers. And we hope that maybe also young people and boys and girls among their posterity, because that is according to the Holy Word of God. Thus the Lord instructs us not only for the things, the need of our soul, but so often in this book of Proverbs, then we can read of the Lord's instruction also for this natural life. And thus he speaks about the slothful. The slothful are expecting a blessing just upon their wishes. But the Lord in his word is making a connection. He makes a connection between the blessing and hard labor. Thus, a connection between the plowing and the harvesting, the labor and the fruits. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. Do we connect these things also? The plowing and the harvesting. By nature, then we are at times connecting these two things actually so closely together that we are making our plowing the cause of our harvesting. Because I plow and sow, because I labor in whatever field that may be, therefore I do harvest. That seems also to be the same in our text. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. And yet it is not so. And that is the importance also of having a systematic theology. You can imagine, young people, when there are those who will take that text all by itself, that they can teach a doctrine which is completely contrary to the rest of the Holy Scriptures. It is the labors of man that are causing the blessing to flow. But there is a difference between the cause of something and the means by which that thing is brought about, or the conditions that are necessary for that blessing to exist. Plowing and sowing, labor, plowing, that is not the cause of the harvest. Where is the cause? The cause of the harvest lies in God. The cause of that harvest lies in his blessing. Because there is so much more than is necessary, that is necessary than plowing. And then we need also the sunshine. And we need also the rain. Thus, plowing, that is not the cause of that harvest. The Lord said to Job, "Who giveth the rain?" Thus the Lord humbles man to say to man that you are not able to give that least part of that harvest. Plowing, that is not the cause of the harvest. Plowing, that is a means that we may harvest. Plowing is a means even that is not able to be missed if we will harvest. And why not? Because of the conditions that are necessary in order that there may be a harvest. What are those conditions? Well, then we need a prepared ground for that seed to fall. Thus, that plowing that is a means, and a means that is a very necessary means. Thus, no plowing, no labor. That means no harvest. That is our experience. That is what we live out from day to day. We know it. We learn it. And yet, a mere plowing, only plowing and sowing, that also will not give us any harvest. Only let the Lord withhold the rain. Only let the Lord withhold the sun. Then we will understand. That is so important to understand. Why? Otherwise, we have no Thanksgiving Day. Otherwise, we thank ourselves for our harvest. Thus, Thanksgiving Day. What is it then for which we ought to acknowledge the Lord? Say strength. Strength to plow. Strength to labor, that is all very hard work. Strength to use the means, also wisdom. Because that farming, that also takes much wisdom. But also for a miracle. For a miracle. That is why we have Thanksgiving Day, for a miracle. Because when man has plowed and when man has laid that seed in that ground, then there is something that man cannot do that lies outside of his power. Did you ever see a seed, boys and girls? Just a small, tiny seed. Has no life. Thus, what is necessary? It is necessary that the Lord is extending His hand, His life-giving hand, that He may give life unto that tiny seed. After we have plowed, after we have sown, after we have labored, then we are waiting for a miracle from heaven. How was that now in this past season? When we have done our labors, was there then an impression in our heart for what we were now waiting? Every day, waiting for a miracle to happen. Every day waiting for the Lord to come and to give life unto that seed. How often is it not true that we have taken this part for granted? And yet we acknowledge that this part that lays outside of the power of each and every one of us. If man did not believe in miracles, then he would never plow. And he would never sow. Thus, when you have in this past season plowed, when you have in this past season sown, then you have plowed in hope. Did you not? Then you have plowed, maybe you did not even realize it. Maybe you did not even think about it. But you have labored with a certain expectation of a blessing. That seed that was going to germinate, and that seed that was going to grow. Could you make it happen? No, not one of all those seeds that were planted in those fields. You could not make one to grow. And yet, your inability did not prevent you from laboring. Your inability did not prevent you from plowing. It did not prevent you from sowing. Without realizing, perhaps, then you have depended on the promise of God. What is that promise of God? You know that, boys and girls, after the flood, what did the Lord say to Noah? Seed time and harvest shall not cease. And maybe without realizing, then you have depended, you have thrown yourself upon that promise of the Lord. When you went to sow your field, maybe you have taken so for granted the power of God, the promise of God, the miracles of God, that you have even connected too closely the laboring and the fruits. Connected them so closely that you have made your labors to be the cause of your harvest. Thus, congregation, how glad that we ought to be in this day. For what we have received out of the hand of the Lord, His gift. Because without Him, we can do nothing. And yet, how have we received it? How have we received it? It was not without laboring. That was not without the use of the means. You did not despise them. Solomon says the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. That is an excuse for sloth. It is too cold. Why do men make excuses? That is because they have no heart for that work. They don't desire to give themselves over to exerting themselves. Plowing is hard work. Thus, when you miss the desire, thus when you miss the need, then the very smallest difficulty, the very smallest trouble that will come up in this life, that is enough to make you cease from all your labors. Which one of us? And now in that season that has gone by, has made an excuse in the beginning of that season, say, I see that seed. Can I give that seed life? How can I do that? I will not plow. I will not sow. Because I cannot work that miracle, then there is not one of you that has said that it is useless for me to sow because I cannot make that seed to grow. Why? Why did we not make such excuses? We did not do that because we are alive. Because we are hungry. Because we have children that need to be fed. Thus, there is something that is driving us out. There is a need in man, a natural need, and that natural need needs to be fulfilled. You did not make excuses because of your experience. Your experience is that when I plow and when I sow, that when I am using the means, that the Lord is working a miracle. That the Lord is blessing the work of my hands to do for me what I am not able to do. That He is giving life unto that seed. That is my experience. And next season, then I am ready to try it again. You did not make excuses because you know the reality of life. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore he shall beg in harvest and shall have nothing. He shall have nothing from the work of his own hands. And he shall have nothing from anyone else. They shall not give to him. Why will they not give to him? Because we know that if a man will not work, then neither should he eat. And thus he shall not get ours either. That is congregation naturally. Our second thought, that is spiritually. We have today a day of thanksgiving. That is for natural things. There is coming also a great day of thanksgiving. And that is for spiritual things. How much greater shall be that thanksgiving than this thanksgiving? That is a thanksgiving that begins here already on the earth. And we can do it for a day. Can we do it for a day? How long can we even think about thanksgiving? But that shall be to a never-ending eternity. And do you know who will not commemorate that thanksgiving? Sluggards. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and shall have nothing. The Lord makes his people active. The Lord is giving them activity in that new birth, when the Lord is making his people alive. By nature, we are dead. And there is not a single truly spiritual activity, praying, worshiping, singing, that is truly spiritual, obeying God? Not a single spiritual activity that is possible without that new birth. Because what is not of faith, that is sin. There are many that do not believe that. There are many that say that my natural religion and this form of religion that we have, that is spiritual. That is acceptable to God. That is nothing more than a denial of our deep fall. They have a zeal of Jehu. But Paul says that I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. On the other hand, we might learn something from that zeal. And we might be ashamed of ourselves because of that zeal. Why? Because how many of us do not make an excuse of our deep fall? And this is a most wicked and soul-destroying sin that will bring us into condemnation. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and shall have nothing. He shall not have an eternal Thanksgiving day. Is a congregation too cold to come to church? Or sometimes too warm? Or sometimes too stormy? Or sometimes too beautiful? Sometimes I'm too tired? Sometimes I have so much energy I need to use that for something? A sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest, and he shall have nothing. On the other hand, we say, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? It is in his decree. It is an excuse. An excuse that I remain unconverted. God must do it. It is his work. We are dead. Can't give it to ourselves. Congregation, that is so true. That is so true. And if we, as your minister, fail to bring that truth ever into the foreground, then we hope that you will come right to our door and say, minister, we miss the truth. We are dead. We are dead in sins and in trespasses. Congregation, we hope. We hope that you also will never use this as an excuse for sloth. Because the Lord says the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and shall have nothing. If our inability is keeping us from laboring, laboring for the need not of our body, but for the need of our soul. If our inability keeps us from laboring, then we may be sure that we abuse the doctrine of the fall. If a farmer would not plow because he cannot make that seed to grow, it is impossible, impossible. And if he will not be diligent, and if he will not exert his effort, and if he will not plow, and if he will not sow, and if he will not water, because he can't work the miracle, then we would call him a fool. And we will say to him, it is your own fault that you have no harvest. The Lord God, he is connecting the blessing to diligent labors. Even though the power to give life that remains with him, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. The Lord never says that we can give to ourselves a new birth. Never. It is not. He says the opposite. He says with man, impossible. Clearly against Arminius. At the same time, the Lord never says that we should not plow. And the Lord never says that it is hopeless that we would receive that new birth. It is the opposite. He says, with God, all things are possible. The farmer does not know the outcome of his labors. The outcome, congregation, belongs to the Lord. There are so many things that can happen or not happen. Yet the responsibility to labor that lies upon him. And he ought not to think that he is going to receive a blessing without his labors. Spiritually, the outcome, congregation, that belongs to God. Yes, that lays in his decree. That is known by him, that is not known by us. But the responsibility to labor that lies upon us. And we ought not to think that we are going to receive the blessing without that labor. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, strive. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. What does the Lord Jesus do? He is connecting always that blessing unto those labors. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, he says, and ye shall find. Knock, he says, and it shall be opened unto you. We make excuses. Why? We don't want to labor. But the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore he shall beg in harvest and shall have nothing. The Holy Spirit is making laborers of his people. Pilgrim's Progress. You see that man? His laboring congregation day and night. Laboring. Then there are no more excuses. Then we are alive. Then there is a need. Then there is a hunger. Then there is a thirst. And these labor. And these plow. Even though it is very cold, do they expect the blessing out of their own labors? In the beginning, yes. In the beginning, yes. They have a very, very difficult lesson that needs to be taught to them by God's Holy Spirit. That is, that those labors are not the cause of that blessing. And the Lord will instruct them in this lesson, in the way of impossibility in that plowing. But he will not keep them from their labors. He will not keep them from striving. He will not keep them from plowing. Did the impossibility make Hannah to be quiet in her prayer? Oh, the Holy Spirit does not teach men to abuse the truth. The Holy Spirit does not make men careless and profane. We are careless and profane. Let us sing. Psalter 446, stanzas 3 and 4. I wait for God to hide me. My soul with longing stirred shall hope whate'er betide me in his unfailing word. My soul waits for Jehovah and with more intense desire than watchers for the morning to dawn of day aspire. 3 and 4 of Psalter 446. Congregation, it is a day of thanksgiving. If we believed that our labors were the cause of all our blessings, then we would not be here together in this day for thanksgiving. Then we would thank only ourselves. Thus, for what reason do we gather here? We gather here to acknowledge the Lord for all his miracles that he has bestowed in this past season. Oh, how much more shall that church one day gather to acknowledge the Lord for his wonders, for that miracle of that new birth, the giving of life, and for that wonder of free and sovereign grace. How much more? Our labors, they are in your midst, all for that one blessed purpose. And you support us in those labors. We acknowledge you for that. But we cannot give you what you need. We cannot work the miracle. And the Lord has said, through the foolishness of preaching, that he will cause them to believe. Therefore we labor, not because our speaking that can convert one person, but because by plowing and by sowing, the Lord has promised to give his blessing. Now we ask you, are you also laboring? Are you also plowing? The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. You say, I don't deserve it. That is true. That is so true, we don't deserve it. Another question. Which one of us has deserved the miracles of this past season? Which one of us? What was your life? What was my life? That the Lord from heaven, that he has extended his hand to give life unto all those dead seeds. No, we did not deserve it. We do not deserve it. And yet the Lord did it. He did it. Why? It is for his honor. It is that we may gather in this day. Not this day only, every day. It is that we may acknowledge him. That is why he did it, not because of us. Oh, how much more is he not ready to give life unto dead souls, that he may be honored and that he may be glorified to that never, never ending eternity. We will not be saved, congregation, by a mere wish. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Everyone wishes. But is our wish strong enough that we are also ready to labor? Oh, how many have sat under the truth of the Word of God their whole life long, and they have perished because they did not plow? Oh, does our wish to be saved, and does that bind us strongly enough that we are ready to labor for it? It is obtained at a cost, at a cost. No, not at that price that was paid by that mediator was not sufficient. It is. He said it is finished. But he also says, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And now to obtain it at a cost, even if it must be at the cost of a little time, a little time, are we willing to take some of that time that we may plow for the need of our soul? The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Oh, the Lord commends those who are not slothful in this life. The Lord commends us to labor very, very, very diligently in this life. Fathers, your business, your work, your farm. Mothers, in your home. Boys and girls, in the school. But it is also possible that we are too busy. Too busy in all the things that pertain to this life. What did the Lord Jesus say? Martha, Martha. Is that also true of our life? That is easy for us to do. Why is that so easy for us to do? Because we have no desire. No desire. Therefore, it is so easy. Therefore, we make an excuse, even if it is our diligence in the things of this life, which we call so proper. Congregation, if it continues so, the Lord says the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg in harvest and have nothing. If we plow, we must plow in the seed time. We must plow in that time that is fitting for that seed to grow in. And if we do not plow in this time, then it shall be too late. Did you ever plow for 1 hour? Did you ever exert yourself for the need of your soul for 1 hour in your life? All our ease of religion, all our form of religion, that does not amount to 1 moment's worth of plowing. All our mere intellectual interest in that word of God, because it is also very interesting to the natural mind, young people, that all does not amount to 1 moment's plowing. Such a seeking has indeed its reward. But did you ever plow? Did you ever sit to meditate? To meditate. That is plowing. To meditate on your state and your condition personally between God and your soul? Did you ever stop to consider what the relationship is at this moment between my soul and God? Plowing. What is it to plow? That is to cut. That is to turn over. That is to turn inside out, so that it is exposing everything that is underneath. We don't wish to do that. That is, congregation, hard work. Is there ever any earnestness at all in our religion? No, we do not say you can give yourself that new birth. No, we do not say that you are able to quicken yourself, that you are able to give yourself life. But do you plow? Oh, we must labor. We must labor diligently to come to a saving knowledge of the truth, of the reality of our state before God. We must labor diligently to come to a true sorrow for our sin, to a true confession of our sin, a true turning away from sin, a true acknowledgement of it before God. We must labor diligently that we may receive the forgiveness of our sins. We must labor diligently that we may be reconciled unto that God that we have left in paradise. We must labor despite the impossibility ever to give anything to ourselves, but to plow. To plow with a hope, to plow with an expectation that the Lord, that He will give it from His own side. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and shall have nothing. Oh, what shall that be, to beg in that great harvest? And to have nothing. Though we beg, we shall not be given one single drop of that oil that is in our neighbor's vessel. We shall be told to go and buy for yourself. People of the Lord, sloth, sloth. It is understandable when sloth, that is the character of every dead person. That is understandable. It is not right. They have a responsibility, but it is understandable. What a shame. What a shame when sloth is the character of those who are alive. Then they have a double guilt. Oh, how much labor has the Lord Jesus Christ not spent on His own church? He says, my meat is to do the will of my Father. How am I straitened, he says, until it be accomplished? It is because of that labor, not sloth, No, because of that labor, that the salvation of the church has become possible. But now how little labor is that church of God willing to do? How many days have they not left him without number? How much cleaving to this world? How much settled upon their lees and not being emptied from vessel unto vessel? Sloth. We are rest seekers, but rest that is not for this time. The rest is for another time. Adam, before the Lord sent him away out of the garden, gave him a promise. It was the promise of grace. It was the promise of Christ. And yet, in this life, he had to labor in the sweat of his face. That was because of his own sin. Here below, it is a church militant. One day, it shall be a church triumphant. And that people, they shall have rest. They shall have an eternal Thanksgiving Day. But will we also be included? Amen. O Lord, O bring thy word into our hearts. Thou knowest each of us. We are slothful. We are sluggards. Oh, we have no desire in and of ourselves. We cannot give it to one another. We cannot give it to ourselves. Oh, Lord, come. Bless thy word. Oh, bring it by thy Spirit in every one of our hearts. Make us diligent, more diligent in the things concerning the need of our soul. Oh, that we may be brought as those lepers, as the blind and lame and the dumb, to seek for the physician. Remember us. Be with us in the rest of this day and in the week that is upon us. Remember thy servants in the preaching this night in this area. And wilt thou help us in the labors of our hands in this week? Be with us as a consistory also when we hope to meet. And wilt thou forgive and take away all that was sinful? Crown thy word with thy blessing. For Jesus' sake, amen. 425 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Unto the Lord lift thankful voices. Come, worship while your soul rejoices. Make known his doings far and near, that peoples all his name may fear, and tell in many joyful lay of all his wonders day by day. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 425. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.